So today I'm super excited to be chatting with this month's featured expert inside Successful Salons Club, Pip Simmons. Now this month inside Successful Salons Club, Pip has created a training course, which we call a collection, all about the art of setting expectations. So this is all about if you feel like you are a salon owner that is speaking a different language to your team, if you are wondering, are you all working towards the same common goal of a successful salon? Because some days it can feel like your team are doing one thing and you're doing another. And do you ever think that perhaps they don't have a clear picture of what you expect from them and that perhaps you don't know what they expect from you? So it's super important that we have super clear expectations and that they are shared so that everyone is meeting those expectations. So that's what Pip's course is all about in Successful Salons Club. Now you can join Successful Salons Club for $7 for a 7-day trial, which will give you access to this collection. Plus you'll receive access to 15 plus collections, all designed to help move your business forward. So today we're going to dive in and we're going to pick Pip's brain all about things salon related. So welcome, Pip.
Thank you.
So let's dive into this. So do you just want to share a little bit about you and your background and what brings you to do the work that you do today?
Cool. I'm a hairdresser by trade. I did my years on the floor. I ended up managing 2 salons by 21. I had had some pretty colourful employers before then. One went bankrupt, and so that was a bit of an eye-opener as to how things can go wrong. I went on to be a salon coordinator in probably 3 of the biggest salons in Christchurch over the years, and then one day I kind of woke up and went, I don't think I want to stand at the front desk ever, and I just felt that there was something more out there for me. So Bamboo was started by a lady called Brenda, so I rung her up and said, I think I want to be you. How do I become you, or should I, go into opposition or whatever? And we came to a business agreement, and I started doing business coaching alongside her. So a lot of my experience comes from implementing those systems in a salon that I was working at previously. And so I've got that actual grassroots understanding of how things work in a salon. So that led me to what I do. I love what I do. I feel really lucky that I can spend my days talking to salon owners and helping them to achieve what it is that they want, whether it be work lifestyle balance, more profit, less time on the floor, and helping them support their teams. I'm really passionate about the fact that hairdressing working conditions aren't always the best. And it's one of the things that I would slowly like to change, or quickly, but like to see improve within our industry as well. And I think a lot of that comes down to, expectations, which is what we have been talking about in the past. I'm very lucky. I love what I do. And also I have a couple of kids, so it gives me the flexibility to do good stuff as well.
Awesome. So I didn't mention at the start, but Pip is a salon mentor for Bamboo Consulting. And I will put the links for Bamboo Consulting below this. And Pip's really, she has a really plain speaking approach. So she will leave you feeling empowered, equipped with the knowledge to really understand your business and take back control. So I'll pop all those details for you down below and you can chat with Pip there. So Pip, what is the number one thing that you see as a biggest challenge for salon owners this year?
To be honest, one of the things I'm coming across the most is the minimum wage going up. Which sounds a little bit left field. It probably wasn't the answer that you were expecting, but the changes with the vocational system for apprentices and the lack of clarity around how is this going to look in 2 or 3 years' time. If wages keep going up, which they are, how is that going to affect the salon owner's pocket? Because, as we all know, majority of your money generally goes out on wages. So when your wages are going up, how do you cover that? So that's probably one of the biggest challenges that I see. I also think getting good staff. Those people that have got good staff are generally looking after their staff really well, and therefore they're not moving around. Or if they are moving around, they're going into more of a contractor/rented chair situation. And people that have got the standard issue business model in a salon where everybody's on wages are they're finding it harder and harder to get good staff.
Okay. So because we have international members all over the world, that minimum wage is, obviously different for everybody, and maybe they don't have that. But what would you see as an overall challenge for 2020?
managing the expectations that are given to clients via social media. I know that it's becoming a lot more things that we're seeing. You know, you can't go from black to white in one session, but I think people still think they can walk in and then walk back out a couple of hours later with the hair that they've seen on Instagram. And it generally does not work like that.
So how does a salon owner manage that challenge?
Honesty. Saying right from the beginning, look, that's a beautiful photo. Probably also got a stunning filter and a ring light and a lot of product. And are you actually going to get up and spend 3 hours in the morning getting your hair to look like that? Because it would take me 45 minutes and I'm a skilled professional. Obviously, they'd say it a bit nicer. Yeah. I would say just being really honest with the client, because otherwise the client is just going to be disappointed. And then you get the other side of the social media when the client has the backlash and posts the terrible review that says, my hair didn't look like the picture.
Totally. Okay, so when you were talking about, like, I just want to jump back to the whole wage challenge we talked about. How does a salon overcome that?
Being aware of their productivity. Trying, and I know no salon owner likes to see their staff standing around doing nothing, but making sure that your team are productive, making sure that they're busy enough, looking at their costs and how much they're charging, what's their price list structured like, do their prices need to go up? I mean, obviously, most of my clients that I work with are in New Zealand, and I spend quite a bit of time in sort of March, April this year because our wages, minimum wage went up in April. Spent quite a bit of time then going, okay, so your wage bill is going to go up this much on the 1st of April. You've got this many clients. They all need to pay this much more. Not rocket science, but it's actually going, okay, this is the problem. How do we fix it? How do we make it easy? And doing it.
Perfect. Good. Okay, so for a salon owner who wants to hit the ground running and achieve some really big goals for 2020, what would your number one tip be?
Write them down. Work out what it is that you want to do. If you've got a big goal, work it out and then break it into smaller goals. There's no point saying that you want your salon to go from turning over, you know, $7,000 a week to turning over $14,000 a week in a year, because what will happen is that halfway through the year when you're not there yet, you'll get demotivated or you'll forget. So it's having those smaller goals. So you might make it that in 6 months' time, your goal is $10,500, in 3 months' time, your goal is $8,500. And then going, how are we going to achieve that? So what are we going to focus on? Because you can't do everything, okay? It makes it too hard. So, you know, if you're seeing 100 clients a week, how many items of retail do you need to be selling additionally? Or how many more clients do you need to be seeing to actually make that gap from 7K to 8.5 to sort of get there? So it's about working it out, breaking it down, and then actually working out the maths and the steps behind it. Because just saying, oh, I'm going to do this, doesn't actually make it happen. You need to know how you're going to do it.
Yeah, and breaking it down definitely into smaller goals, but obviously the outcome is that bigger goal as well. Yeah. And working smarter, not harder. So selling retail, and I know that people will roll their eyes.
Treatments.
Yep. Yeah, those are all the things. Increasing their average client spend.
Yeah, definitely. And with all the plexes and bits and pieces out there now, there's actually no excuse. It's all the advertising is done for them. Mm. They've just got to back up what the clients are actually seeing in social media all the time.
Definitely. Right. I'm sure you hear this a lot too, but we have salon owners that just don't have any time. Yes. They say that they don't have any time, and that's because they are on the floor. They are doing the HR, they are a parent, a partner, mm-hmm. you know, all those other outside obligations, you know, wages, you know, training, all those sorts of things. And they just don't have enough time. How does somebody that feels like that create more time?
I often talk to my clients about outsourcing some stuff. So what is it that you're doing that you can outsource? What do you feel that you can let go? Wages, can you pay an accountant or a VA? You know, probably a whole lot cheaper than an accountant. Can you pay them to do your wages for you? Can you look at outsourcing your HR? In New Zealand, and I think Australia, there's a company called EmployShore. There's probably lots of alternatives, and they can do all your contracts and bits and pieces. Obviously, there's a cost involved, but it just takes away that time and that stress. Managing things in the salon, can you delegate them to somebody else? And actually learn to say no. Betty, that's been coming in for the last 10 years, that will only see you, but actually you need to be doing something else at that time. You just actually need to put them onto somebody else sometimes and take yourself off the floor a little bit.
So when it comes to creating more time, and you talk about delegating, and a lot of salon owners like control.
Yeah. I'm a control person.
So how do they go about, what can they do to let go of some of that control?
If they want it enough, they can do it. And I think it's like anything. I think it's like losing weight or giving up smoking. It's probably a better example. If you want to be able to do it, and you just need to put the steps in place and want it enough. So if you're going to delegate something to your staff member, you need to get them on board, make sure they want to be doing it, make sure they're capable and that you've given them all the training possible. And then you need to keep touching base with them to see how they're going with it. Are they doing it the way you want to do it? The other option is that you realise that actually it could be another way, and it could actually even be better than the way you're doing it. It's really hard to let go, and it is often people become salon owners because they didn't like the way the last person did it. So they want to do it their way and have their control. If the culture within their salon is the kind of culture where everybody loves what goes on, then whoever takes on the extra responsibility should be excited, it should be a privilege for them, and they should want to do it the way it's been done previously.
Definitely. And I think you touched on a good thing about setting them, making sure that they've got the right training, like setting them up to win.
Yes.
And the other thing is and one thing that I tell my clients too, is that when you are doing all these tasks, and some of these tasks aren't actually moving your business forward.
Yes.
So are those, identifying what those tasks are and delegating those tasks, so it frees up time so that you can work on your business.
Yes.
To move your business forward.
And I think that's the big thing. People go, oh, I can't afford it. It's like, well, do you want to create any change or not? Because life will stay the same unless you create a change. And generally you've got to offload something to make that time for that change. So actually that $150 a week or whatever means that you can actually focus on your business, and you could get that back 2, 3, 4-fold depending on what you're doing. Or even if it's just to create a better work-life balance for you by getting someone to do your wages every Tuesday morning, and that means you can go for a walk or do something that you want to do, or do your social media if that's what appeals, then you're actually just going to feel better. And that's sometimes worth more than the cost. It's just making that realization.
Definitely. And I think also a really easy way, like I like to put it sometimes, is that if you were to go off the floor for 3 hours, and maybe you'd make $250 in that time. Okay. But that two, so you need to, and you want to outsource something, it's going to cost you $250 a week, right? But if you actually spent that 3 hours working on a marketing promotion to bring in a new client drive or something like that,
yes,
then that's going to make way more than that $250. You're going to outsource it, you're going to create new clients coming through, and you're going to make more money.
Yes, I think sometimes we just get so stuck in a rut and in our own way that we forget, we just don't realize that there is an upside, that you can achieve those things. People just get too bogged down in that it's too hard, I've got too much on, I'm too busy. And they just forget that they can actually put their hand up and say, hang on, you know, help, or I need to outsource something. I need to free up some time. I think everybody likes to wear busy as a badge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just, mm-hmm. One of my pet hates in life. Mm-hmm. How are you? I'm busy. So it's like, that's great. But, you know, it is being busy. You don't get a medal for it at the end of the day.
Yeah, and there's being busy and being productive.
Yes, and it's the, what do they say? Give a busy person something to do and it'll get done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And I think also that when you want to create a change in your salon, so if you're at, like, you, we'll use the example that you said before about 7,000, you want to get to 14,000. Now, if you want to get to that 14,000, you're going to have to do something different to what you did to get to that 7,000.
Yes.
And so then you're going, when you start to like think about working on your business or outsourcing these things, you're going to the next level. You're raising your vibration. And when you raise your vibration and like everything just happens and you get to that next level.
Yeah. But you actually have to spend the time to stop and think about it.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, you talk about that, you know, the vibration and how these things do happen, but you've actually still got to go through the thought process and you've actually still got to sit down and go, I want it to happen and I think I need to take these steps and this is what I'm going to do for it to actually happen.
Mm-hmm. You know, totally.
If they totally. If they don't even think about it in the first place, it won't. It won't happen.
And I think that comes into when people talk about like the law of attraction and things like that, and they sit there and they're visualizing that they're going to make $14,000, you know, a month this a week. And they're sitting there visualizing it, but they're actually not taking any action.
Yes.
Then it's not going to happen. You have to take inspired action.
Yes. Yeah. And the thing is, most people don't work on their own. So how are your team going to change what they're doing? Mm. Do they think they're just going to get hit by lightning and, I'm going to sell a whole lot of retail today? Mm. They actually need to go, right, these are the steps and I need to communicate it and, you know, this is what's in it for all of us and this is where the salon's going to go and this is how we're going to do it. Because your team won't do, they won't instigate change off their own back generally unless you have communicated it with them.
Mm-hmm. And that's what you dive into. It's all about communicating it effectively and setting those expectations and sharing that with your team so they're all working to the same goal. And that's what you talk about in the collection, how to do that. But we're talking about teams, how do you create, for a salon owner that is struggling to create a highly engaged team, what would you tell them?
Find out what engages them, what drives them, because it's different for everybody. So years ago, when I trained, you know, it always used to be that commission was what drove you. You know, and there was an old style commission structure and that was what drove you and you always wanted to achieve that and earn more. Whereas nowadays, people don't necessarily want to earn the money. They want more lifestyle. They want more flexibility. They want to have recognition on social media. You know, look at this amazing style that was done. You know, big ups to so-and-so. You know, she created this and it's beautiful. And that's what they want. And if you're not giving them what they want, they won't engage with what you're trying to tell them. I'm not a fluffy person when it comes to explaining things. I've worked with people in the past who are fluffy. You know, you get a text and it's got 17 different emojis, whereas I'm like, right, this is what I'm telling you. Get it done. But, you know, you do have to each be fairly direct and then make sure people understand so that they are then engaging. If they are just switching off as soon as you're speaking, then you've got an issue. Yeah. Probably more finding out what gets them engaged. Ask them. People don't like to be dictated to nowadays. Everybody needs to be given an option and, you know, ask for their opinion and how they see things working. And, you know, it's not, the workplace isn't like it used to be where the boss said jump and everybody goes, how high? Mm-hmm. We now have to get an opinion and work it out and how we're going to do it together, which is cool. But it's making sure those people are engaged and that they see what they're going to get from it for themselves.
Yeah, and definitely getting their buy-in. Their buy-in is really, really important.
And if you have somebody whose buy-in you just can't get, then they're not the right fit for you. And that person, if they're disengaged, they will probably be a little bit unhappy. And the hope is, and you know, there's a whole process, but the hope is that they realise that and they move on. Because that is obviously not the right fit for them. And it doesn't matter, you can be an amazing person, amazing stylist or whatever, but if your work environment is not the right fit for you, then you won't be engaged.
No, and you do definitely want a happy, engaged team. And just and a couple of points on that, I think, when you buy a salon, you don't buy a salon to be tied to it 24/7. Your idea of buying that salon is to create freedom for yourself.
Yeah.
And your team are the same way. They don't want to be tied to your salon either. They want the freedom to be able to go home and not have to worry and not getting text messages or group messages and all those sorts of things from you as well.
Yes, that's one of my things at the moment. I've had a couple of salon owners actually approach me because they've had, you know, their team have got their own Instagram pages and so they're getting messaged privately. And I'm like, whoa, you know, that shouldn't be happening. But it happens and, you know, it starts at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning. And it's like, well, you just tell them not to engage back. You know, that's the first thing. But yes, team members don't want to be, I personally think they shouldn't be involved in group conversations for, you know, 3 hours after a long day. You know, it might be a wee message saying, well done you, pat on the back, you did awesome today. That's it.
Definitely. And I think also that as salon owners, we have all passed, we have to realise that our team members are not going to be as passionate about our business as what we are.
Yeah, exactly. And they won't do things or think about things the same way we do because it's not theirs.
And they're just probably not at that level either.
No. And often it's, I think too, some of it is, I'm going to say generational, which again makes me feel really old, but I think that the younger generation don't look at things the same way that we did. You know, when I got an apprenticeship, it was a privilege. Mm. You know, I was really lucky to walk out of school and into a job. Whereas now it's not viewed quite the same. And I think they don't always come into the workplace hungry for it as what we were when we did our training. So I think some of the issue too is, you know, how do you make them, you can't make them think the same as you, and everybody needs to have their own ways, but it's trying to get them to see that actually the big picture is that if they don't get on board, then the business actually won't be there tomorrow. Mm. You know, like everybody needs to have the same care and want for the business to succeed.
And I think that brings me to a really good point, is that when we're talking about our team members and they're not meeting our expectations,
yes,
we feel very, very scared of performance managing them, or, you know, or them, because we don't want them to leave, because then what are we going to do? And, you know, stylists are few and far between at the moment, or yes, therapists are few and far between at the moment. How do we change that mentality? Because I think sometimes as salon owners, we settle rather than going, this is going to be a challenge and it's going to be a bit of a headache, but we need people that are going to fit our culture and move our business forward.
So I think it comes back to, again, that whole want. You know, you almost need to hit rock bottom to realise that actually you've got a bad egg. We need to deal with it. And how are we going to deal with that? But if you just sort of keep going, oh, it might get better tomorrow, it might get better tomorrow, you'll never create that change. So you actually need to be in the place where you're ready. And then it's about actually, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? Okay, well, if they leave, yes, they might take their turnover with them. But actually, by the time I paid for the colour usage they were using, their wages, their sick pay, holiday pay, all those other things, they're actually contributing about this much in the big scheme of things. And I think that's something that we often lose sight of. I've had a couple of salons who have lost staff members and actually become more profitable. You know, so I think it's about being realistic. If we performance manage this person and it goes wrong and they leave, well, if you have to performance manage someone in the first place, they're probably not the right fit.
And that takes a lot of time and effort.
It does. And a lot of stress. It takes up a lot of sleep. And it really is one of those things that, you know, we talked earlier about outsourcing. That really is when you need to get somebody, a professional, you know, an HR, get some advice so that the onus isn't all on you in terms of the legalities.
And Department of Labour in New Zealand are really, really good for that. And in Australia, they have another company, kind of the name's gone now. But there are government departments that are really, really good at helping small business owners or business owners through those processes. Yep. And it doesn't cost.
And it's confidential. There's nothing wrong with putting your hand up and saying, I've got a staff member I need help with.
Yeah.
Definitely. So, and the other thing too is that the longer you leave that kind of thing, while you've got to get to the bottom to be ready to change, the longer you leave it, the more that bad culture can seep into the rest of your team. And if you're allowing one person away with it, well, everybody else will start doing it too. So it's that big picture. And then that's when you get the people that go, I've got a full team and I think they just all take the mic and nobody takes me seriously. Okay, well, let's back it up. When did it start? You know, and that's where you can see that, you know, how much these things can snowball.
And you bring up a really, you said, you know, there's nothing wrong with putting your hand up and asking for some help. Yes. Now, I find that's probably one of the biggest things that salon owners do, is feel that they need to do it all on their own.
Yeah. I think it's, without getting too off track, I think it's actually a female issue, full stop. And I'm sure you've got some males and you know, that are listening too, but, you know, like, you think back to when your kids were little, how often would you have gone, I really can't do this today, can someone help me? You know, so as a salon owner, how many people go, I need some help? And people actually they feel ashamed, but then they won't talk about it. And it's something I found quite interesting since I've been doing what I do, is that nobody goes to another salon owner and goes, I've been seeing a business coach. You know, it's like the dirtiest secret sort of thing. And it shouldn't be, you know. It's okay to get help, because generally if you could have changed it on your own, you would have changed it by now.
And I think that's probably one of the things, is that if you want to get to that next level,
yes,
you don't necessarily have the skill set to do that. So it's about finding somebody, and I'm not necessarily saying a business mentor or anything like that. You might have somebody that you know who has a friend or whatever, but talking to people that have been where you want to go and enlisting their help.
I think, for example, people that run marathons, I bet you half the newsfeed on Facebook is filled up with stuff from nutritionists, mm-hmm, sports trainers, mm-hmm, run specialists, shoes, because subconsciously they're still looking for help. Mm. And you know, they've got to where they are by doing that, and then they go, actually I want to get to that next level. So they actually ring one of these biomechanical specialists or whoever, and they do some work on their technique, and then they get to their next level. And it's the same sort of thing, but for some reason people struggle to say that they need help in their business. And it's a shame. I think a bit of it's the pride, you know. I think we all like to think we're doing really well. A bit like busyness, you know, we wear it with a badge, you know, business is great and I'm so busy. It's having the guts to say, actually it's not that great this year, I need some help, what am I going to do?
Yeah, and I think that's the thing, is that I view asking for help as a strength.
Yes,
definitely not a weakness, because it shows that you have a want and you have a desire and you're hungry for more.
Definitely. And I think, you know, there's so much awareness at the moment around like mental health.
Yes.
I guess it'd be the same in Australia, particularly like male farmers. You know, there's massive publicity about saying, I'm not coping today, you know, I'm suffering, I need some help. Yet, I don't know, maybe there needs to be a bit more of a focus for salon owners around where can they go to get help, whether it be outsourcing to a VA or all those things, and just having them be aware that it's okay, you know, and actually it's a good thing to want to be in a different place to where you're at now.
So in saying that, we might have like salon owners listening who have that hunger, that desire, that want, and are ready to ask for help. But the thing that's putting them off is cost.
Yeah.
What, and that's, and when you're in a salon that may be finding it really challenging, and, you know, week to week not being able to pay you, or month to month pay everything, or pay yourself a decent wage, or even pay yourself. You know, what do you say to a salon owner who's feeling like that? Like, I really want this. I'm hungry. I need the help. I'm asking for help, but I can't pay for it.
I think what it comes down to is, if they view it the right way, they will see that it's an investment.
Totally.
And that long term, they will be in a better financial situation. My personal style is, I don't go, I can take your business from this to this and I can triple your turnover and you'll make thousands. That's not the way I operate. But I sort of go, at the end of the day, if you want to create the change, you need to outsource it somehow. You need to pay for the help. And long term, it's going to make your life so much easier for the short term gain. You know, is there something else in your business that you're spending money on that you don't need to be, that you can then put that money into a different output? I think it does come down to the want. I, without sounding terrible, I haven't met many salon owners who have been in the situation where they actually can't pay. Yes, they think they can't pay, but then they realize they want it enough and they can pay.
Yeah, and it's like anything, when you want something bad enough, you'll find a way.
Yes, definitely, definitely. And it's amazing what you can make happen if you want it. If you wanted to create change, I mean, you know, there's plenty of free resources out there to start and see how you go, but whether or not you have the ability to implement them on your own is sometimes some people, it's actually getting them from step A to step B is the first thing. The other thing I find that a lot of people have a barrier with is that they're scared that their lack of knowledge will be an issue. You know, I can't read my business report, I don't know how to do this. And it's like, actually, once we get those basics done, you're going to be up here. You know, it's just actually getting those basics, and there's nothing wrong with saying you don't know how to read them. You know, I wasn't born knowing how to read them. You know, I had to learn somewhere too. So yeah, you've just got to start.
Yeah. And I think also, if we go back to the old saying, that growth doesn't happen in your comfort zone.
Yes. Yep. Exactly. And eat baked beans for a couple of weeks. Yep. You know, save up that money and just do it. If you want it enough, you'll be able to make it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Pip, thank you very, very much for taking this time to share your knowledge with the Successful Salons community. Just before we go, I want you to, like, your final words for any salon owner wanting to achieve massive results for 2020? Like, what would your...
Oh, that's a curly one. It has to come from you. You are the only person that can make it happen. It doesn't matter how many books you read or how many experts you talk to or what you outsource. If you're not prepared to create the change, it won't happen. I often say to my clients, it's time to put your big girl knickers on and you need to go out there and do it. Think about it, make a plan and act on it. And I know that makes it sound really simple, but actually it generally is, and you've probably been overcomplicating it for too long.
I love that. You talk about putting your big girl knickers on. I talk about, do you want to be a princess or do you want to be a queen?
Yes. Yep.
You know, how do queens make decisions? How do princesses make decisions? Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. That's it. You've got to think bigger than what you are now.
Yeah. Perfect. I absolutely love it. And I really appreciate the time and sharing your knowledge with us. So for everybody listening there, I'm going to put all Pip's details and Bamboo Consulting and a link to her website down below and her Facebook page as well. So show her some love. Mm-hmm. And thank you very much, Pip. And thank you very much for being part of our Successful Salons Club as well as our featured expert.
Thank you for having me, and good luck for 2020, everyone.
Thank you.